This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Sword and Laser, episode number 87. I'm Veronica Belmont.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And we are actually here in the same place.
Wow. This hasn't happened.
Weird.
For tens and tens of episodes.
Ages.
I used to come over to your place in San Francisco. Actually.
No, the last time was probably Dragon Con.
Oh, well, okay. You're right.
If you want to count
Good
that.
Good point. That was not that long ago.
Not that long ago. But we are recording a rather short episode because we realize that we're both going to be at CES next week. Reporting on tech news.
And we realized that you don't want to wait a whole other week to find out what the next book we're going to read is.
No, you already mad at us for not announcing it last episode.
I know, because I sort of half teased, like, we're going to talk about how we'll select that book later, and then we never did.
That never actually happened.
That was totally my fault.
So, yeah, it's going to be a slightly abridged version of the regular Sword and Laser podcast, but we will kick it off, as usual, with the quick burns.
The 2012 Hugo Awards and John W. Campbell Award nominating ballot are up at shycon.org/hugo/nominate.php. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't know what that means to me, if you went to ShyCon 7, the 2012 World Science Fiction Convention, well, I guess you couldn't have gone to it yet. But if you are an attending or supporting member of that, or you were an attending or supporting member of Renovation, the 2011 World Science Fiction Convention, or are an attending or supporting member of Lone Star Con 3, the 2013 World Science Fiction Convention, then you get to vote for Best New Writer. If on or before January 31st, 2012.
Is it vote or nominate?
You're essentially filling out a nominating ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So the nominating ballot allows you to fill in best novel, best novella, best novelette. You can put up to, it looks like, five in each category.
Mm-hmm.
Best short story, related work, graphic story, stuff like that. In fact, there even is a best fan cast category.
That's interesting.
You know,
what is the description of fan cast?
Any non-professional audio or video casting with at least four episodes that had at least one episode released in 2011.
Oh, well, we've had more than one episode.
We're
released
so
in 2011.
Unprofessional.
We are pretty damn unprofessional, I have to say. I don't know if we qualify. So yeah, if you guys were attending any of those cons or will attend any of those cons and feel like throwing us a nomination our way, I wouldn't be mad at you.
Yeah, go check it out. And really, I mean, if you're attending these cons and you didn't realize you get to vote, for the freaking Hugo Award.
I thought there was some kind of WonderCon connection, but maybe I'm wrong.
I think you're right. I think there is, but it doesn't say it on this page, so I'd have to dig a little more to find out. But if you're in the WonderCon world, you might want to check this out.
Awesome.
As well.
Do you want to hit up the calendar?
Let's do. Coming out January 10th, that's in 4 days from our recording date, The Fault in Our Stars by John Green. Despite the tumor-shrinking medical miracle that has brought her a few years, Hazel has never been anything but terminal, her final chapter inscribed upon diagnosis. But, you knew there was a but. When a gorgeous plot twist named Augustus Waters suddenly appears at Cancer Kid Support Group, Hazel's story is about to be completely rewritten.
And then also on the 10th, we have three science fiction novellas, From Prehistory to the End of Mankind by J.H. Rosny, to the shortlist that includes Jules Verne and H.G. Wells as founding fathers of science fiction. The name of the Belgian writer J.H. Rosny Ayn must be added. He was the first writer to conceive and attempt to narrate the workings of aliens and alternate life forms. His fascination with evolutionary scenarios and long historical vistas, from first man to last man, are important precursors to the myriad cosmic epics of modern science fiction. Until now, his work has been virtually unknown and unavailable in the English-speaking world, but it's crucial for our understanding of the genre. Three wonderfully imaginative novellas are included in this volume.
And then, more than a week away, January 15th, 2012, Creed, Court of Callows, Volume 2, by Anna Kavanaugh, seventh generation from the onset of dependence on a genetically altered inorganic, and they bear the ramifications of the time following that polar flux.
That polar flux. It gets you every time.
The polar flux.
Gosh, I think I make the same joke every time we talk about that book.
I never get tired of it.
What are you going to do? And then on January 17th, we have The Coldest War by Ian Tregellis in audible form. Of course, we've talked about this release numerous times. It was supposed to come out earlier in December, but unfortunately was pushed back due to narrator issues. The narrator who was supposed to do the audible version was unavailable at that time. So it's being pushed back a little bit, but we're still equally as excited for it.
Also January 17th, Shadows in Flight by Orson Scott Card. The story of Bean fleeing to the stars, time dilation, and there's even a no-ship in there. The Delphikis are about to make a discovery. A Formic ship. A no-ship is a Dune thing. It's a Formic ship. The Delphikis are about to make a discovery that will let them save themselves and perhaps all of humanity in the days to come.
Fabulous. Should we read 24th or save that for next time?
I'll just give them the titles for the 24th. Why not?
Okay, so on the January 24th, we have Orb, Scepter, Throne by Ian Cameron Esselmont. Oh, yeah, we weren't going to read the rest.
You can read it. It's on laser.com.
Esselmont's fourth novel, set in the Mazalon world, returns as the gaslit streets of Dar... Of course you made me read this one with all the unpronounceable things. Daruzistan.
Yeah, easy for
Daruzistan. Daruzistan. Shortly after the events of Erikson's Toll of the Hounds, a demigod has died on the streets, and portents reveal that a tyrant is returning to claim his city. Against this fate stands a motley crew of citizens led by the redoubtable Krupp.
Book Girl and the Corrupted Angel by Mizuki Nomura also comes out January 24th. And the Mariner reissue of one of my favorite books of all time, Man in the High Kissel by Philip K. Dick. It's
awesome.
All on the calendar.
All right, well, let's cut ahead to our book pick announcement, because I know a lot of you are listening solely for that, so you can see what you should be picking up. Cut to the chase, either on Audible or Amazon or at your local bookstore. And we are going to do a book that we've discussed several times, and it is Rule 34 by Charles Stross.
Charles Stross is an interesting guy. I had no idea some of these things until I started looking him up. He used to write for Computer Shopper.
Really?
Yeah, up until 2004. He wrote the Linux column.
Computer Shopper was a CNET property.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And right around the time I started at CNET, he quit to become an author.
And those of you who don't know, both Tom and I both worked at CNET. That's where we met.
Yeah, exactly. He also published some role-playing game articles in the 70s and 80s, at least according to Wikipedia. And some of his creatures, such as the Death Knight, a Githyanki, borrowed from George R. R. Martin's book Dying of the Light, and the Githzerai and the Slod were later published in the Fiend Folio Monster Compendium.
Death Knight, interesting.
I know, sound familiar?
For you WoW
Warcraft
players out
much?
There.
So anyway, he got his first short story, The Boys, in Interzone magazine in 1987. His first novel, Singularity Sky, published by Ace Books in 2003 and was nominated for the Hugo Award. He's actually had a ton of his novels nominated for Hugo Awards. And what we're going to be reading is actually part of a universe, the Halting State series. Rule 34 is the follow-up book to Halting State, which came out in 2007.
But it's kind of like Abercrombie in the sense that...
That's what my impression is.
Not the First Law trilogy, but the other books in his world, like The Heroes.
Yeah, it's not a straight follow-on from Halting State. It's a loose sequel. He's also working on another book in the series called The Lambda Functionary, which is planned for 2014.
It sounds like he's our people. He's our people. He's, you know, between Computer Shopper and the role-playing and the stuff he's written.
He just looks like a nice guy.
He just looks like a nice guy.
Anyway, let's tell you about Rule 34. Detective Inspector Liz Cavanaugh is head of the Rule 34 squad. You know what Rule 34 is?
Of course I know what Rule 34 is.
Explain what Rule 34 is.
Rule 34 is the internet rule that if there is anything in the world, there's porn about it somewhere on the internet.
Exactly.
No exceptions.
So, Detective Inspector Cavanaugh, head of the Rule 34 squad, monitoring the internet to determine whether people are engaging in harmless fantasies or illegal activities. Three ex-con spammers have been murdered, and Liz must uncover the link between them before the homicides go viral.
That's great.
It's also written in second person, which apparently he did with the Halting State as well.
So describe, like, give me an example.
You are doing this. You pick up.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever read anything in second person before.
I've read a few things like that, but it's pretty rare.
Maybe I think the last second person thing I ever read was a Choose Your Own Adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah, like literally.
Edinburgh Police Inspector Kavanaugh is one of the second person perspectives. There are three points of view. Kavanaugh investigates, the spammers murdered. Anwar, a former identity thief who becomes Scottish Honorary Counsel for fictional Central Asian state and the toy maker, and quote unquote, I guess that's a character name. Mm-hmm. That's another one of the perspectives. I'm sorry. The toy maker is the third perspective. I got that wrong. Anwar is not the toy maker. He's honorary consul for a fictional Central Asian state. The toy maker is the third perspective, an enforcer and organizer for the criminal operation. There's quotes around that word. And their interactions and conflicts drive the story. And the way I understand it, it goes one to the other, a little bit like 1Q84, although those are third-person perspective, but you get Amame, Ushikawa, and Tengo.
You just gave me a spoiler.
Huh?
You just gave me a third-person spoiler.
That's not a huge spoiler. Mm. You just get it's like in any George R. R. Martin book when you turn the page and you're like, oh, new perspective. That much.
But
of
I've gone through three like audio parts so far. Well, yeah, you're getting in the really middle close. Of the third.
It's actually book three of the three books.
Okay, so I'm only in book two right now.
Where you get that? Yeah.
All right.
But it sounds like it's that same kind of deal where you're going to get it from a particular perspective. You know, another thing at the very end of 1Q84 that happens.
Still mad.
Is
nope. Shut your face. Shut your face hole. Don't you say another word. It is totally a spoiler. You were not telling me who the third person was this whole time. You could have spoiled that at any moment.
I didn't know there was one.
Yes, you did.
I hadn't got there yet.
Yes, you have talked on this very show many times about how, there's three narrators in the book. There must be a third perspective that we hadn't gotten to yet.
I hadn't gotten there yet.
Yes, neither had I.
Well,
neither had I, Tom.
Now you all know.
It's all right. I forgive easy. We've done worse on this show before.
Just gonna kill me.
I'm gonna kill you.
Never hear me again.
I'm actually in the same room with you now. I can actually kill you. Sweet.
So anyway. Rule 34, it's not sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
It's
not fantasy either.
Near future techno thriller kind of thing. But I hope you guys will like it. It's gotten really good reviews from places like Publishers Weekly, and Kirkus Reviews gave it a star, calling it dazzling, chilling, and brilliant.
How long
the
is
Guardian,
it?
The Scotsman like it. You want to know how long the Audible is? Let me look it up.
I'm curious. I probably will read this one. Actually,
next to 1Q84, it's going to feel super short.
So it is available on Audible.
It is available
good.
For one credit or $22.
Oh, it's
for
only 13
members.
Hours.
Yeah,
that's just 2 hours. It's like 2 hours longer than Ready Player One.
Oh yeah, so it's good. It's good size.
Okay,
and narrated by Robert Ian McKenzie.
Cool.
But it's also available hardcover, trade paperback, and audiobook. The pocket paperback isn't coming out until June 26th here in the U.S. anyway.
Okay, interesting. And there was another book that you wanted to also kind of read as a side book, right?
Well, but then was it Terp Kristen?
I think it was Terp Kristen.
Who put her foot down?
She was like, nope, not going to read this one if you do it.
Because
Cory Doctorow recommended it.
And she's like, not had good luck with Cory Doctorow recommendations before. I understand. Not everyone likes.
So what have we read from the Cory Doctorow recommendation list so far? We've read Down
Wind
and
Up,
Out.
Wind Up Girl.
Down and Out in the Magic. No, I think I read Down and Out on my own. Did we read that
for
the
club? Well, Down and Out was read by, is Cory Doctorow's book.
I know, but did we read that?
Yeah, no, that was a pick. Yeah.
Okay.
Because then we had Cory
on
to wrap it up.
And then, Science Fictional Universe.
How to Live in a Science Fictional Universe.
How to Live
universe.
In a Science Fictional Universe.
But we didn't pick that because of him. We picked The Wind-Up Girl because Cory recommended.
And that was a good one.
I liked The Wind-Up
Girl. I liked
Does
Wind-Up
Terp
Girl.
Does not like The Wind-Up Girl?
I don't know, Terp. What are we going to do?
I'm just saying.
Well, so what was the name of the book that you do want to read on the side?
Oh, yeah. I should be finding the name of it. Well, it's the one about the Mirror New York.
Right.
That's
Empire State.
Empire State.
Is it
Thank
Empire
you.
State?
Yes, okay. That is it.
And the reason I actually didn't want to read it for the book club was because I thought it sounded too similar to The City and the City by China Mieville.
I kind of think it won't be, but I understand why.
I know, yeah. I felt like I had read a similar book to that already recently, so I wanted to try something a little more different.
Yeah, Terp Kristen wrote, Cory Doctorow is a person who recommends good books mentions How to Live Safely in a Science Fictional Universe, which I actually liked. I understand it's not for everybody.
Wasn't my favorite.
Yeah.
It was no memoirs found in the bathtub. Memoirs in the bathtub, but it was okay.
I like weird books, okay? It's just the way it is. Yeah, Empire State is by Adam Christopher. It's his debut novel. I don't know. Should we make it an alternate pick or should we just not?
Well, I mean, we're still working pretty heavily on 1Q84 as an alternate pick.
Yeah, I'm almost done. I'm within an hour of the end.
Then why not? Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, maybe people are sick of talking about it. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we'll wrap it up when you're done.
Can I add three books to the... Yeah, thanks. I got a few flights coming up.
Let's leave 1Q84 until you're done.
Okay. All right.
We'll hold off. If you want to read Empire State, though...
Empire State will maybe be either a future side pick or... I'm sure there will be other people who want to pick it up in the group as well.
Exactly.
All right, so that's it. Yeah, Rule 34 is our new book pick for the next month or so. When do you want to wrap it up?
February 7th or February 14th? February 7th would give us a month. February 14th is Valentine's Day.
What does that say about our lives that we're even considering recording a podcast on Valentine's Day?
It says it's a Tuesday. We love what we do.
No, February 13th would be the episode. Oh. Tuesday is the 14th. Monday is the 13th, and we record on Mondays.
That's not what my calendar says.
Uh-huh. February 2012. Are you in the wrong year?
I'm looking at it right there.
I'm looking at it, too. Look. Oop. February 14th is Tuesday.
Okay, you're right.
I win this round.
Cross-eyed.
All right, let's do the 13th.
All right, so we'll give it February 13th is the wrap-up date. Mm-hmm. I'll make a note of that right here. February 13th.
This is all too inside baseball.
I hope
you guys appreciate hearing the process by which all this is decided.
Yeah, whenever you go off script like that and you start to go loose, you just go, people love that.
No, they love it. It's real. It's real.
Yeah, it's authentic. It's genuine.
Let's say hello to some people.
Hello, Ian.
Oop, I have my list up. Robert.
Eric,
Liam,
Walker,
Michelle,
Tanvir,
Brad,
Javier,
Martin,
Michael,
David,
Adrian,
Noomniman,
and Joe. Welcome to Sword and Laser.
Is now Noomniman.
And thanks for posting on our Goodreads forum.
I'm sorry if I've offended you, and that's actually your name, and I looked at his post
to see if he gave another name, but I didn't see one.
You have a very fascinating name, and I enjoy it immensely.
You should be proud.
Numa man. All right, that's it. If you want to get in touch with us, we have a new email address. The email address now, going forward, is feedback@swordandlaser.com. And if you still have theswordandlaser@gmail.com, we'll still get it. But feedback@swordandlaser.com is the new official email address.
Yeah, we got fancy new swordandlaser.com email addresses.
Yeah, that took me a really long time, so...
It took you longer than I thought it was going to take.
Oh, thanks. The web address is swordandlaser.com. All our discussion is happening over on goodreads.com. And if you want to call in and leave us a voicemail, the phone number is 415-779-6735. We will see you guys next time.
Bye.